Email latedebate@rte.ie.
Hello again. Still with me in studio are Tom Brabazon, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Bay North and spokesperson on Justice and Defence, Laura Harman, Labour Senator and spokesperson on Further and Higher Education, Charles Ward, 100% Redress TD for Donegal, and Tadhg McNally, political reporter with the Irish Examiner. Tadhg, a bit of a crash course on housing in front of the Housing Committee today. Central Bank and the ESRI were there. A lot of stuff to get through. Let's start with the issue of 100% mortgages, because I think Independent Ireland had floated this as maybe the regulations needed to be loosened to allow those 100% mortgages back through the gap again. What did they have to say?
Yeah, so this, again, like you mentioned, Independent Ireland the last couple of days have sort of floated this as an idea to, you know, they basically said that, you know, renters are paying, you know, very, very high rents. Some of them are paying more than they might be paying for a mortgage. And, you know, that's a reason why they should be allowed to look at 100% mortgages again. The central bank, it's safe to say, don't agree. They warned pretty heavily against that today. Mark Cassidy, their director of financial stability, said that this is a bad idea, and it would be a bad practice and bad move to take. So he said it would sort of begin to push up. It would lead to an increase in demand, because if you have more people who can get a mortgage, you don't have to hit that 10% deposit rate. You'd have an increase in people looking for mortgages, which means you'd have an increase in housing demand, which means you would probably then have an increase in housing prices, because there isn't enough supply that would be able to let people get a house, basically. Right. So they're very much against it. The ESRI were also pretty much against it as well. They all seem to come around to the idea, this is not a good idea. A couple of TDs asked it. It seems to be the idea is very much not a runner.
All right. It wasn't the only inflationary show in town in their estimation. Some of the Help to Buy schemes, they also said, could have that impact too.
Yes, this was particularly around the idea of the first home scheme. So this is the shared equity scheme, which was known as the sort of the bridge the gap scheme. So where you have, you know, you have your 10% deposit rate, your deposit saved up, you have, you know, whatever, 4.5 times your income. And then there might be a sort of a gap of €20,000 between that, the mortgage rate, and the cost of the house. So the shared equity scheme essentially would give you that €20,000 in equity in the house, and then you'd be able to have all the funds needed to buy the house. So what the government were looking at doing, and James Brown is looking at doing, and it was it's in the programme for government to be examined, is this idea that you could, it would not just be solely pinned towards new build homes. Now, Central Bank have said that because this is a demand side, a supply side measure, it's the idea of the scheme is to increase supply and to, you know, to bring more houses into being built and to get them onto the market, is that all this would do, if you brought it into the second-hand market, would just push up the cost of second-hand
and
houses.
Just be a demand side.
Because there's no increase of supply in second-hand houses. You can't build a second-hand house. You can only build a new house.
All right. Yeah, there's a good bit to get through, but let's go around the table on the 100% mortgages first. Tom Brabazon, where do you stand on them?
Yeah, well, look, I think if you look at we've got back over the Celtic Tiger and the reckless lending that took place then, a lot of those high percentage loans resulted in a lot more kind of, if they're statistically, they were linked to higher numbers of distressed loans after the crash. And I would think that it's always a good idea for somebody to put down their own deposit on a property, so that they're investing in it themselves and are more likely to look after that investment then.
Right. And the shared equity scheme for a second-hand house, Central Bank not convinced by that, on the basis that there's a limited supply and you're just giving people more money to spend on a limited supply, so possibly driving up the prices. Do you think it should be quietly buried as a proposal?
Well, look, we have to, the whole thing about our housing crisis is the lack of supply. I think that was one answer to assist people at a particular point in their lives now. I think ultimately we're the supply is the answer, and we have to look at ways of dealing with that.
Okay, just quick, I suppose it's a yes or no really, isn't it, Laura Harman, 100% mortgages?
Yeah, well, it's a no from me, and I think it's a reckless suggestion.
Charles Ward?
As people say, and it's definitely a no.
Okay, all right. Look, let's look at what they did say about what, you know, they called it their three pillars for increasing housing supply, which was particularly, you know, on the labour side of things. They were saying that European housing workers are 25%, like EU area housing workers are 25% more productive than their Irish counterparts because of the modern methods of construction that they use. And there isn't enough of that in Ireland. Charles Ward, what's your view on that?
I worked in construction.
Great.
And I can give you firsthand, the Irish worker will not be beaten. And I'll just say this now.
It's not a criticism of the worker, though. It's the tools available.
Tools available. But what we've got to realise something is, in 2009, we had a recession, a bubble burst. We lost a lot of our construction workers, and it's never quite recovered. But what happened during that time is the demand kept on going, and we didn't build to demand, and we're stuck in the mess we're in now.
All right. Laura Harmon, that point on modern construction methods, the idea to enable the 175,000 people in the construction sector to build more with the resources they have, they seemed to question why it wasn't being rolled out. One small clue to it was that a lot of the construction firms in Ireland are small and don't maybe have the scale to invest in these methods.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there needs to be a mix. I mean, certainly we have to have modern building methods. I mean, I know in many European countries, some of the building takes place, you know, off-site, for example. But ultimately, we need to have the workforce here as well and ensure that we keep them here. I mean, it takes an average about 4 years to upskill. We need to keep apprentices in their courses. We need to pay them a living wage. We need to make sure that we keep our skilled workers here. So part of it is absolutely about supply. I think, you know, there's a lot of things been touted as panaceas in relation to housing, in relation to solutions. But ultimately, if we're going to bring down prices, we have to increase supply. And part of that is ensuring that we have the workforce there. I mean, you know, the Labour Party had in our manifesto that we wanted to create a state construction company, want the state to play a bigger role in housing construction.
That wouldn't in and of itself expand the workforce, would it? You could just end up having a well-resourced state housing company that was recruiting from the private sector.
A company with a workforce, and that has to be part of it. And we have to work with the local authorities, you know, I believe as well on a local level in terms of house building, you know, at a greater scale. I mean, we've seen that, you know, the government is not meeting the targets that are needed. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people are leaving the country and skilled workers because they can't afford to have their own home.
OK, Tom Brabazon, the enabling the Irish worker to do more with modern construction methods. How come, I suppose, there hasn't been more investment into the training and investment in construction companies to do this heretofore, do you think?
Well, I think there was an over reliance on what worked in the past prior to the crash, and there's been a lack of funds around funding. Private sector funding for construction companies. I do know that certainly I'm looking at some of the construction going on in my own constituency. I can see apartments being like ready made being dropped into the shell of buildings, and they're almost complete with beds, pillows, sheets, the whole lot. And I think we certainly need to look at a lot more of that. But I think we also have to look at increasing the numbers of apprentices coming out, qualifying as plumbers, as brickies, as electricians, and so on, so that we have critical numbers to go out and do the building. Just to ensure, like we can't solve all this by building nothing but apartments. We have to do houses as well, and it's a combination of large corporates, medium size, and small companies as well.
Okay. Tyke, one of the things that came up to encourage on the apartments front to encourage more private sector investment into the area of apartment building was the question of the rent pressure zones. It was portrayed as a trade-off by the central bank and the SRI there today. If you want to control rents, it's going to affect supply. If you want to encourage supply, it's going to affect rents.
Yeah, so the argument essentially that was made is that there's a lever here that can be flicked, you know, and it's a kind of a, you know, you can kind of move it one way and stop it there, and it might impact on renters and push up rents, or you can kind of stop it halfway and it'll impact on halfway the other way, and it'll impact on developers wanting to come in and build apartments, particularly build to rent. The government is going to have to move on this soon. James Brown has been given an options paper from the Housing Association with some indicators, with some ideas of what can be done, whether that's increasing the threshold for rent pressure zones from the 2% that it's at currently to a higher percentage. That's the amount that rents can be increased by, or, you know, there might be a reset in rents if a tenant leaves a rental property and a landlord brings in a new tenant, they can reset the rents at a market rate or whatever. It's a difficult one because, you know, I think there's kind of, if you go all in on changing the rent pressure zones, you're going to end up, you know, putting renters in a pretty tight spot, because, you know, if there's protections are gone, you know, you leave renters open to particularly big hikes in their rents. You know, rents for tenants who are in rent pressure zones and have been in a property for a long period of time, they're fairly stable. You know, they're not getting massively increased every year. They're being increased 2%, 2%, 2%. So it's going to be difficult for them. Leaders have discussed it, but we're kind of unclear as to when some decision will be made.
Okay, Charles Ward, the I think it was the SRI in front of the committee said today that rent pressure zones and rent controls are good for people in existing tenancies. They're not great for people who are looking for tenancies, and they're not good for encouraging investment into the likes of apartment building. What's your view? Is there any room to tweak rent pressure zones in order to try to strike a balance between the two things?
Well, I'll just take, for example, where I'm from, Donegal, where 3 years ago, a three-bedroom house in Donegal would cost you about €850. Right now, €1,500. We're in a socially economical state where we do not have big deposits to put down in rental apartments. We don't have too many apartments. What we've got currently going on right now in Donegal is a perfect storm of a defective concrete crisis. There's 28 houses for rent in Donegal as we speak today. 28.
I meant to ask you on that specific point. The housing figures that have been put out, you know, of what needs to be built, mm-hmm. and unmet demand, this figure of, you know, 52,000 houses a year, does that take into account the need to rebuild the houses in Donegal?
No, it doesn't. And I'll give you an example of it now. If you're dealing with figures, for us to rebuilding the defective homes in Donegal, we'd be needing to build around 850 every single year for the next 15 years. The scheme has been in place now 3 years. We've done 72 homes. Only 16 of them have been full rebuilds. The rest are a hybrid option that you cannot sell or mortgage at the moment. So for us to make this work long term, we would need to invest. Right now, we have a scheme that doesn't work. And added with the fact is, last year, the numbers in Donegal for houses built were 328 houses built in Donegal. We're so far behind. We're never going to make it up. We need help. I would say we're in a housing emergency, and it needs to be called that.
All right. Laura Harman, going back to the question about the trade-off between rent pressure zones and investment into the housing sector, they were saying today in front of the committee, the SRI and the Central Bank, that about €7 billion of private investment is going to be needed into housing, and that there is a trade-off to be made between looking after existing tenants and private investment. What's your prescription on that?
Well, I think it's, you know, that we are absolutely in a housing emergency, and I think at this stage the whole country is a rent pressure zone. I mean, we see that average rents nationally are over €2,000. I know in Cork City, for example, the average rent is €2,213 per month. We absolutely need to support renters, because we need to keep them in their homes to prevent future homelessness figures from rising. We know that the next homeless figures are going to be published this Friday. We already have over 15,500 people that are homeless in this country. Rents are going up, house prices are going up. We can't have a whole generation of renters in the future who are pensioners. You know, that is an absolute ticking time bomb. It's a poverty ticking time bomb for this country. I don't know how we are going to be able to cope as a country if that's the case. So we urgently need to solve this now. And I think, look, increasing supply is absolutely key. Certainly protecting, renters and you know, bringing down rents is going to have to happen if we're going to move more people from renting into home ownership as well.
Do you think it can be done? Do you think there's any happy medium between adjusting the protections in rental pressure zones and also encouraging inward investment?
Well, I think, you know, the people that are, I suppose, against the rent pressure zones primarily are people that, you know, own property or are landlords. So I do think we need to look at, I suppose, those that are vulnerable. And as I say, keeping people in their homes has to be absolutely, paramount. But we are in an emergency. I think we do need an emergency response here, a pandemic style, you know, response to the housing crisis. I think it's the biggest threat to Ireland, you know, economically.
I just want to get to one more issue before we go, Tadhg, the proposal to allow an extension on planning permissions for people who had been held up in judicial review and elsewhere. Will you run us through it in brief, and then we'll get a response from the panel before
we
go?
This is an emergency measure, so it was brought to Cabinet today by James Brown and by the Junior Minister John Cummins. So basically what it'll do is, if a JR is in place, a judicial review is in place, planning permissions won't essentially lose time. So planning permission is given 5 years. You get 5 years when you get a planning permission granted, you have 5 years to develop it. But if it's stuck in a judicial review, that time won't tick down. But it also the change is also allowing that to provide for 3 year extensions on planning permissions if there are 2 years left in any planning permission.
You're through the
judicial review process, but that'll only be allowed to be to happen if applications to extend that are made 6 months after the law is passed, which we're expecting to be done before the summer recess in the next couple of weeks, and that development on the site must begin within 18 months after the extension is sought.
Okay. Tom Brabazon, this allowing people to extend their planning permission, you know it'll be seen as potentially favouring people who have large amounts of land with planning permission that they're not building on.
Yeah, that may be the view, but it also applies by equal measure to one-off housing as well. So it's across the board, and it will, like, if we're talking about increasing supply, those, you know, housing construction has to have planning permissions. And if we're serious about the housing emergency that exists, we have to use every policy measure at our disposal. And this is one of them. It's not a panacea on its own. It has to come with a suite of other measures.
Okay. Charles Ward, one of the issues the SRI and the Central Bank brought up today was planning was a blockage to the Irish construction sector. One of the other conditions of this is that if you apply for a 3 year extension of the planning permission, you have to begin construction in 18 months. Does that answer the concerns about people who look at this as a potential, bonus to people who want to hoard land?
Yeah, well, we've been here before. We've seen it through time. This is what happens when, you have large construction firms or landowners that sit on land, profiteer off it. It should be get your planner permission, get them built and get them into the market.
Right. You have no sympathy for people who get held up in judicial review, no?
Judicial review is an essential part of what we're in today. Judicial review can be used in many forms.
Okay, Laura Harmon, do you think that the time lost on construction that's taken up in a judicial review should be reflected in an extension of the timeline on planning permission?
Well, I think there needs to be a use it or lose it kind of policy when it comes to planning, and I would have serious concerns of extending it by 3 years. We can't have a situation where people are sitting on land, letting it increase in value and using it to their advantage.
Okay, I just want to get to a couple of texts before we go. I don't live anywhere near Dublin. No investment fund are going to build apartments out here. What would the point in lifting RPZs be here, says Eugene Murphy. And somebody says about Vancouver, the credit union movement in Vancouver has built thousands of homes. The Irish credit union movement is the same size, but it's regulated. The central bank won't allow it. Follow Vancouver's excellent example, says Des Gunning in Phibsburg.